welcome to the Buckmaster Show for Wednesday, the 24th of March, 2011. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KJLL 1330, and we're always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. We're live weekday mornings from 9 to 10. We re-air our show from 7 to 8 in the evening here on KJLL. The lineup for today's show includes a newsmaker interview with Congressman Michael Burgess, a physician whose new book is being released on the one-year anniversary of the Obama health care plan. Also today, former State Transportation Board Chair Cy Shore will join us to talk about proposed rail service between Tucson and Phoenix. At the bottom of the hour, a conversation with Judy Rich, CEO of Tucson Medical Center, as our CEO interview series presented by Trio continues on the Buckmaster Show. Then we close out the hour with a newsmaker interview with Doug Ducey. Mr. Ducey is the treasurer for the state of Arizona. Buckmaster Show is primarily interview-driven, but there's always room for listener comments and questions. Call us on the Buckmaster Show live line at 529-3508. This week is the one-year anniversary of the passage of one of the most contentious congressional votes in recent history. Representative Michael Burgess, a Republican from Texas, is a practicing medical doctor who offers a scathing indictment of the way the Obamacare bill was pushed through. Dr. Burgess is the author of Doctor in the House, a physician-turned-congressman offers his prescription for scrapping Obamacare and saving America's medical system. That book debuted this week in bookstores across the nation. Dr. Burgess joins us now on the Buckmaster Show live line. Congressman, thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Tell me about why you decided to write this book.
Oh, I will tell you, as I watched this thing unfold before me over the last couple of years, that I'd wanted to write a healthcare policy book for some time, but it was always so boring, and suddenly this became a very intriguing story, and I sort of paralleled healthcare policy with what happened in the House and Senate on the passage of Obamacare, and tried to make it an interesting read, as well as chronicle some of the really bad process that gave rise to a very bad bill, which now has given rise to a very flawed law, in my opinion. But it was, you know, you think back on this, and the summer of 2009, we had those town halls where so many people showed up and so many people were angry. In my little hometown of Denton, Texas, normally I get 24 people for a town hall, and I got 2,000. And they were concerned. They didn't want us to screw up the system that was working for about 2/3 of the population. And they said, if you're going to do anything at all, please help us with cost. And as it turns out, we did screw up everything, and we made cost worse as a consequence over this first year. Witness the fact that over 1,000 waivers have been given. Whole states are now requiring waivers. And even the city of New York may ask for a waiver, and one of its congressmen was one of the biggest proponents of this darn thing as it went through. So it is no surprise at this point that, you know, people are looking around and saying, what in the world did they do, and why did they do it, and can it be fixed? And that's really where we are today. The fixing partly deals with stopping what's going on and stopping the implementation. Congress has a role to play with that on the funding aspect. Of course, the courts are playing a role, and ultimately the people, again, will play a role in 2012 and at the ballot box.
Congressman, let me ask you, speaking of fixing, there was another fix. You say in the book that this is kind of the inside story of how the fix was in on this legislation from the start, and it really was kind of a sham from the very beginning. This thing was already a done deal from the very beginning. Is that your contention?
I don't think there's any question. And just look at how... Look what got signed into law a year ago yesterday. It was H.R. 3590. Now, interestingly enough, the House passed a health care bill during the summer of 2009. It was H.R. 3200. Harry Reid picked up H.R. 3590 out of the bills that were pending, passed in the House and pending in the Senate. this was actually a housing bill when it first passed the United States House of Representatives. He picked it up, he stripped out the housing language, and started inserting health care language. If you'll remember, that happened between Thanksgiving and Christmas of 2009. It looked for all the world like, let's make a deal. He bought off Nebraska, he bought off Louisiana, he bought off Florida with various sweetheart deals and other sweetheart deals around the country. The people, understandably, were aghast as this was going on. But famously on Christmas Eve, just ahead of a snowstorm, they passed H.R. 3590 through the Senate. And as a consequence of how bad it looked, 2 weeks later, Scott Brown won the Senate race in Massachusetts. Whoa, suddenly Harry Reid no longer has 60 votes. He can't just slam anything he wants through. And he tells Nancy Pelosi, I'm sorry, you've got to take what we've passed, and you've got to pass that on the House side. She initially said, oh, my God, I haven't got 100 votes for this thing in the House of Representatives. But over the next 3 months, they cracked enough skulls and broke enough legs that they were able to get it through. And you know, every senator who voted for that thing on Christmas Eve, I'm sure in their heart of hearts thought, well, we're going to be able to fix this thing in conference in a couple of weeks, so it's not so bad. But they never got that chance. And again, this thing was never intended, it was a placeholder. It was never intended for prime time and certainly never intended to become law.
It's about 13 minutes now past the hour on the Buckmaster Show. We are speaking with Texas Congressman Michael C. Burgess, M.D., one of the few doctors actually in the House of Representatives. What are the worst aspects of the plan, and how can those be, is there a fairly easy way to fix these things?
No, nothing's easy with this darn thing, unfortunately. And, you know, some people will say, they look at the surface and say, boy, some of these insurance reforms, they're okay. We're actually in favor of those. Well, of course you are. But look, did we have to do a 2,700-page trillion-dollar bill to fix problems like pre-existing conditions and leaving kids on a parent's insurance for a little while longer? No, of course you didn't. It could have been easily fixed with perhaps even regulatory fixes and not even required legislation, but certainly much smaller pieces of legislation that wouldn't have involved changing the fundamental nature of the relationship between the government and the people, which this bill did. Going forward, the fixes are, first off, to stop the implementation, and that's all of the fight on the continuing resolution that's going to be going forward for the next several weeks. There'll be a budget that comes out of the House of Representatives from Paul Ryan in a few weeks' time, and that's another opportunity. You've heard former Speaker Gingrich talk about changes to the debt limit, which may be another opportunity to roll back some of the funding for Obamacare, and all of those are accurate. The Supreme Court is ultimately going to be required to rule on this thing. I think that's going to be later rather than sooner. But one of the things that's done now is you've got, like the governor of Utah, when he came in and talked to our committee, here's a governor, a Republican governor, who was looking at setting up state exchanges prior to the passage of Obamacare. And now he's at a loss. He doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know whether to proceed. He doesn't know whether the law's going to be repealed, if the Supreme Court's going to strike it down. He certainly doesn't want to spend money setting up exchanges if they're then suddenly non-workable in the new landscape. So it's really created a lot of indecision on the part of the states who weren't trying to deal with problems as they had them presented to them earlier.
Dr. Burgess, Congressman Burgess, here in Arizona, we have a doctor shortage. Arizona, as your home state of Texas, some of the fastest growing states in the country, doctors are leaving the profession. Has this helped some of them make up their mind, Obamacare, and deciding that they will toss in the towel?
Well, the short answer is yes, because last year there were 40 doctors running for the nomination of their party, for the Republican nomination, to run for Congress in their various districts. And in fact, we've got a record number of doctors now. It's 16 if you count Dr. Paul Gosar, who's a dentist there, a new doctor from Arizona. So there's 16 physicians, 3 nurses on the Republican side in the House of Representatives, and I think that's an all-time historic high. So clearly, doctors are looking around for something else to do because of the effect of this health care law. And you know, the thing is, if you're going to do that big a reform, where in the world was the American Medical Association? Why didn't we get a down payment on the fix of the Medicare payment problems that have bedeviled doctors for the last 10 or 15 years. Why didn't we get a fix on the medical liability system that has bothered practitioners for the last two or three decades? Where were the people who were supposed to be looking out for the providers in this country? And in fact, they were, I don't know what they were doing, but they weren't in the right place at the right time.
Congressman Michael Burgess is the author of a book just released this week, Doctor in the House, a physician turned congressman, offers his prescription for scrapping Obamacare and saving America's medical system. That book just being released this week. What would you like readers to take away from this book, Congressman?
Well, I do. It is in some ways a chronicle of how things occurred. There is a heavy dose of health care policy, but it's readable. And I didn't want it to be just a complaint. I wanted it to be something practical, and I do offer solutions at the end of the book that are still valid considerations. I had them up there during the debates over the health care bill itself, but they're still valid considerations. And then ultimately, you know, it's not about the last 30 years, it's about the next 30 years. And you've got a whole generation of young doctors who are out there kind of wondering what the world holds for them. The science with which they're going to practice is going to be absolutely spectacular. The policy is abysmal. But the doctors that are in training today are going to have more tools at their disposal for alleviating human suffering than any generation of doctors has ever known. So their futures are bright, so long as we can preserve that future for them by fixing the problems we've now delivered with Obamacare.
We have less than a minute, Congressman. What if there was one thing that needs to be fixed right off the bat? What's the top priority?
The top priority is, you know, something magic happens when people spend their own money for health care, and Mitch Daniels has shown that elegantly in the state of Indiana with his Healthy Indiana plan that he's done for state employees, a high deductible health plan, and then the state funds a health savings account for state employees. It's been very popular. It's saved them a ton of money, 11% reduction over 2 years, while while private insurance has gone up by 8 to 10% a year, and Medicare and Medicaid have gone up by 20% a year in their expenditures. He's held costs down. This was something we should have considered and never got consideration during the work of the run-up to Obamacare. So worthwhile for people to consider, and again, that's in the book, and I would encourage people to give it a look.
Congressman Burgess, author of Doctor in the House, thank you very much for being on the Buckmaster Show here in Tucson.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Buckmaster. Anytime. Happy to do it.
Thank you, sir. Coming up now on 19 minutes past the hour, we'll be talking about transportation, a rail plan, perhaps. Phoenix to Tucson. Stay with us.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA Four Diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting, and you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
Sarnoff Artist Materials is your one-stop store for fine and graphic artist supplies, framing, stationery, and Mont Blanc and other top-of-the-line writing instruments. Order online at sarnoffart.com or visit owner-operator Henry Sarnoff and his store staffed by artists, for artists, and those who seek the finest quality in everything art-related. Sarnoff Artist Materials, 2504 North Campbell, three blocks north of Grant, and always at sarnoffart.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastro pub.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowell and Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Imagine a jewelry store that is both sophisticated and organic, where Tucson's rich cultural heritage mingles with contemporary design. We invite you to Veer Jewelers, where our commitment to customer service is surpassed only by our reputation for creating inspired custom jewelry that is as unique as our customers. At Veer Jewelers, you are warmly welcomed, whether you are bringing in an heirloom for repair or design, replacing a watch battery, or shopping for a special gift. Visit our unique showroom, centrally located on Campbell, just north of Grant, or visit our website at veerjewelers.com. Veer Jewelers, Tucson's trusted jeweler for more than 25 years.
Coming up now on 24 minutes past the hour on the Buckmaster Show. Well, the State Transportation Board at its recent meeting in Sahuarita unanimously approved the state rail plan. Transportation advocates and leaders from the business community are celebrating the adoption of that state rail plan, which is the first ever statewide plan for passenger and freight rail transportation in Arizona. With us on the Buckmaster Show live line is Tucson Attorney Shore. Mr. Shore served 8 years on the State Transportation Board and is the immediate past chair of the board. Cy, how are you doing?
Fine, thank you, Bill.
How serious should we take this? Is this something that should make us stand up and say, well, maybe there will be eventually some rail service between Phoenix and Tucson?
I think we have to take it seriously. We have to remember, however, that it's, even if rail service were to be implemented, it would still account for only a small fraction of the people who would travel between Tucson and Phoenix every day. I might add that I would probably be amongst them because I would appreciate it. A number of years ago, there was service between Tucson and Phoenix. It was rather long and it was somewhat truncated, but there was service, and I, for one, did take it, but it proved not to be very lasting, and it was difficult. So if we can have good rail service between Tucson and Phoenix, it would be facilitate the movement of passages between the two cities.
This plan, Cy, looks at really our infrastructure needs over the next 25 years. It will take, I assume, many years before this thing could be a reality? Or could we fast track it, so to speak?
It would be difficult to fast track it because in order to fast-track it, you'd need a funding source. The prospect of getting a funding source from the state would be most difficult in this day and age. The prospect of getting from the federal government is also rather remote. The government does have some rail projects in mind. They have one, I believe, between Tampa and I think it was Orlando, but that was killed by the governor of Florida. And there is one that is being contemplated between in the Central California Valley, I think between Sacramento and another city. And I'm not sure how far along that is going to get either.
We're speaking with Attorney Cy Shore. He's the immediate past chair of the State Transportation Board. One thing is certain, Cy, the vehicle traffic increases on Interstate 10. The congestion is certainly there. There was some talk when you were on the board about some kind of another bypass around Tucson. What happened to that?
The bypass, it's on the books for further study. However, given the realities of the fiscal situation that we're in, the prospect of doing a bypass at this juncture are rather remote. That does not say that we don't need it. We do. We've had close downs on the freeway, and it's exemplified just how much we do need a bypass. However, that also will have to be put on the back burner until there are adequate funding sources to consider that.
Was a route ever selected for that bypass?
A route per se, no, but the concept of having one and having one through the West Valley of Tucson is something that has to be, that could be considered were they to ever get to the stage where funding would be available for such a venture.
So are we basically looking at everything being put on the back burner just because of the economy, Cy?
Well, you know, I look at my former colleagues on the State Transportation Board, and I applaud them for serving. When I served as chair, and during the 8 to 9 years that I was on the board, we were dealing in the time of prosperity, and we had money for projects, and could consider long-range things. Today, we're doing our very best at the state board level, I think, just to keep up with the maintenance of the system. So they have a very, very difficult job.
Well, the road condition certainly, it seems like it has been deteriorating, especially on I-10. There's the potholes, and it is not a very good condition. I know there were some upgrades, but it still needs a lot of work.
It does. But, you know, when you compare this to, say, the year 2000, when I first got on the board shortly thereafter, the I-10 condition from Tucson up to, say, Casa Grande, where it merges onto the area going to Phoenix, is in much, much better condition. We have a much better system now than we had before between Tucson and that point about 60 miles from here. And that has been because of the projects that ADOT did undertake and carried out so successfully.
Cy Shore, thank you very much. Do you miss not being on the board anymore?
I can't say I do. I do miss the camaraderie of my fellow board members, but things and time moves on.
That's right. It certainly does. Cy Shore, thanks for being with us.
You're welcome. Bye.
All right. We're coming up now on 30 minutes past the hour on the Buckmaster Show. Our CEO interview series is next, presented by Trio.
Something on your mind?
The time has come for all of us to speak out.
Call in and let us know.
Now start talking.
Talk about how you feel.
KJLL, South Tucson.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. The U.S. is leading the coalition operation in Libya for now, but President Obama says it will soon step back from that leadership role. Retired General Wesley Clark says the U.S. is trying not to make this political.
If it ever became defined as Obama versus Gaddafi, then you're on the slippery slope to a much deeper intervention. The administration is doing everything possible to prevent moving down that slippery slope.
Three people who work at the damaged nuclear plant in Japan stepped in highly contaminated water. Two of the men had to go to the hospital when it seeped into their skin. A powerful 6.8 magnitude earthquake hit Myanmar today, but we haven't heard reports yet of any damage or injuries. More than 80 flights are canceled or delayed because of a huge fire at the Miami airport. It started in an area where planes are refueled. Checking Wall Street, the Dow's up almost 90 points right now. The most trusted name in news, this is CNN Radio.
Wearing glasses with Crizal lenses can make a big difference in your vision.
Neither the teeming rains of India, nor the snows of Kilimanjaro, nor the glare of the paparazzi at a Hollywood opening can keep your lenses from giving you the clearest vision possible. For no-glare lenses with great water, dirt, dust, scratch, and smudge resistance, choose Crizal. Live life in the clear. That's C-R-I-Z-A-L. Crizal. Ask for them at your eye care professional.
The Home Depot has Scott's Turf Builder Fertilizer with Halts Crabgrass Preventer for only $20.94. It covers 5,000 square feet. You also get a bottle of Ortho Weed Begone free. Time to buy it and apply it. We're lowering the cost of staying out of the weeds thanks to Scott's Turf Builder with Crabgrass Preventer for only $20.94. Plus a 24-ounce bottle of Ortho Weed Begone free. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
With 30 projects under construction, including work at La Cañada Drive and the First Avenue bus pullouts, the Regional Transportation Authority is delivering our promise to you already. RTA has completed 174 projects, including 5 major roadways, and launched transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle. Your tax dollars are creating jobs and making travel around our region faster and safer. Please be careful of workers in those areas and obey all traffic signs. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore, casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastro pub.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tancredi, at the southwest corner of Tancredi and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tancredi, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery on the corner of Tancredi and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
It's 35 minutes past the hour on the Buckmaster Show, and every couple of weeks now we will be introducing you to a CEO of some of Tucson's largest companies. The CEO interview series on the Buckmaster Show is presented by Trio, offering programs and services to support the attraction and expansion of companies that offer primary high-wage jobs to our citizens. Since 2005, Trio has facilitated the relocation and or expansion of nearly 40 companies in the Tucson region, representing over 10,550 jobs for a $2 billion economic impact. For more information, visit Trio,
AZ.org. Our first interview in the series was with Lisa Lavallo, the Vice President and Systems Manager for Cox Communications in Southern Arizona. Today, we talk with Judy Rich. Ms. Rich is the President and CEO of TMC Healthcare. As the top administrator there, she has held Tucson Medical Center's financial turnaround. She's led that over the past 3 years. Ms. Rich was named a Woman of Influence by Inside Tucson Business last fall. She serves on the boards of the Arizona Hospital and Healthcare Association and United Healthcare's Hospital Executive Advisory Council. Judy, thanks for being with us.
It's a pleasure to be here, Bill.
Judy, in our lead interview with Lisa Lavallo, the trio vice chair, Lisa was emphasizing the importance of diversifying our economic engines, yet healthcare is always here. Most people don't usually think of it as part of the economic development scene. How do you see healthcare affecting economic development?
Well, healthcare has been an economic driver here in Tucson for the past 100 years. We have a great climate, and early in the last century, people came to Tucson to take the cure in a warm, dry climate. So we started as a world-famous tuberculosis facility. Even the top-rated Arizona Inn can trace its roots to a healthcare need. Isabella Greenway started the inn in part to employ disabled vets from World War I, many of whom had suffered from poison gases and came here seeking relief. So most recently, the demand for healthcare services has grown because our population has grown. And in Pima County, the number of employees in the healthcare industry has increased by more than a quarter from 2000 to 2007. And at the same time, the total payroll for these employees grew by nearly 76%. So healthcare systems play a very important role in helping Southern Arizona achieve its economic development goals because we create quality jobs. We enhance local medical research and education capabilities, and we certainly improve a community's reputation as a great place to live and a great place to work.
Well, certainly, Judy, the healthcare industry, like many industries, is facing a lot of economic challenges. When you look at, as a nation, we're nearing the point where it's hard to believe, but 20% or one out of every $5 is now spent on healthcare.
Yes, it is. And that means those dollars are not spent on other things like going out to dinner, taking a vacation, buying a new car, or even paying for tuition. So businesses can't hire more workers or offer them better wages because our health care costs continue to rise so dramatically. It's really unsustainable. And as you know, the nation and the state is addressing it on a very urgent basis. At TMC, we're tackling this by working with a number of our doctors and one of our very important insurers. We're trying to deliver higher quality, safer care, and at a lower cost. And we're doing that through an accountable care organization that's part of a national pilot. And we're trying to see if it's possible to really bend the curve of the rising cost of medical care. And, of course, the most important thing is we're increasing quality while we're doing it.
Judy Rich is our guest on the CEO interview series presented by TRIO. And Judy, I know you've been following what's been going on at the Arizona legislature very carefully. The lawmakers were considering dropping 280,000 adults from the access rolls. That's the state's Medicare system. The Arizona Hospital and Healthcare Association estimates that if the current proposal is enacted, there would be a lot of jobs lost, 13,000 jobs in healthcare and perhaps another 17,000 indirect jobs lost.
It's pretty grim. In fact, I'm headed to a meeting later today and tomorrow with the Arizona Hospital Association to address what our best next efforts should be in this regard. If this law passes, it would mean that those people would be dropped from the rolls of Medicaid access payment. It will delay care for everybody. It will affect all of our emergency rooms. It's going to result in people waiting longer for care and probably becoming sicker by the time they seek care. And my fear, Bill, is that some hospitals, especially those that are in our outlying communities, might be forced out of business. Our physicians are very concerned and frustrated. We've been working on bringing good physicians to Southern Arizona for many years now. And the physicians that I talk to about this crisis are very nervous about what this means for Southern Arizona, for Arizona as a state. I hate thinking that people are potentially going to leave the state and go someplace else where things are more stable or where they don't see this kind of a problem. All of our states are in trouble, but Arizona is especially in crisis right now with health care.
And, of course, education has been a big target up at the legislature, and I know you're a huge advocate of supporting education and having strong health care resources in the community. But if we have continued cuts in education, that is not going to help the future doctors and the future nurses of tomorrow.
No, you know, we talk and live, I hope, in support of science, technology, and all the education that's important for medicine and for healthcare. It's very important to us that our nurses and doctors and technicians are being educated today for the future healthcare needs of this community and of our nation. And they have to know how to work with computers. They have to know how to think. They have to have more than a high school education or just simply a liberal arts education. There has to be a real focus for healthcare, for people to go into the more scientific, technological pieces of education. So as the CEO, I joined TRIO in envisioning Tucson as a leading knowledge-based center with a highly educated youth and workforce coming in. And to do that, we really rely on the success of our K-12 education system. We have to demand and support raising K-12 education to a level where our graduation rates are something we can all be proud of. Our business community wants to be a part of the answer. Here at TMC, we have a program called GO. GO stands for Great Opportunities. It's where a number of our high schools train students, send them to become certified nursing assistants and really productive members of society. And from there, from high school, they can go on to college. They can find a job where they've already had a head start. So most hospitals, Bill, really want to support all of our high school students, our kids as they're going through education here. We want to support them in having a great opportunity to go into healthcare and any other field that they want to go into.
Judy, we're quickly running out of time, but give us an overview of how TMC is doing financially. You've been involved in really a turnaround of the financial situation over there. You opened up a bright new expansion of TMC for children, upgrading the pediatric services of the community. What's the overall view here in the remaining minute or so?
Well, we're excited and encouraged and sobered all at the same time. So we had a year last year with a bottom line, and that's important because we just reinvest our profit, so to speak, right back into the hospital by building and purchasing equipment. This year, so far, we're keeping our head above water. We're coming out every month with enough money for us to continue to reinvest. But we're very sobered by what's going on at the state, and we're very concerned about our ability to continue to take care of patients. And, you know, Bill, for us, the only reason that we need a bottom line is so that we can continue to be here in the future to take care of patients.
Judy Rich, CEO of TMC, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Judy Rich was our guest on the CEO interview series on the Buckmaster Show, presented by TRIO. For more information about TRIO, visit trioaz.org.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinca Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinca Verde and Savino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, Call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tankaverde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery on the corner of Tankaverde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
With 30 projects under construction, including work at La Cañada Drive and the First Avenue bus pullouts, the Regional Transportation Authority is delivering our promise to you already. RTA has completed 174 projects, including 5 major roadways, and launched transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle. Your tax dollars are creating jobs and making travel around our region faster and safer. Please be careful of workers in those areas and obey all traffic signs. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Sarnoff Artist Materials is Tucson's award-winning destination for everything art-related, including fine and graphic artist supplies, framing, stationery, and the world's best writing instruments. Visit owner-operator artist Henry Sarnoff at 2504 North Campbell, 3 blocks north of Grant, and always at the easy-to-navigate website sarnoffart.com. Because it takes an artist to know an artist's needs.
It is 48 minutes past the hour on the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster on KJLL 1330 and always on BuckmasterShow.com. Well, Arizona faces enormous financial challenges, with estimates of the state budget running in red ink to the tune of at least $1.5 billion for the next year or so. Next on the Buckmaster Show, we talk on our Buckmaster Show live line with the state's chief financial officer, Doug Ducey. Mr. Ducey is a Republican who was elected in November to the state treasurer's job. Treasurer Ducey, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
It's good to talk with you again, and I wondered if you could give us a quick overview. How does the state's financial situation look right now?
Well, Bill, I think people understand that the treasurer is the state's chief banker and investment officer. So from the standpoint of a bank, if you take the numbers from last January of 2010, we were negative $940 million. That would be the equivalent for a listener to be borrowing or out on their credit card $940 million. That's where the state was in January of 2010. If you fast forward to today, we have $804 million in the bank. So our cash flow has improved. So that's like having some cash in the bank, but where we are from a budget perspective is we can't afford the bills that are coming due. And that's the dilemma we're in right now, and that's what the House and the Senate and the governor are trying to figure out with our budget.
Yeah, because a year ago when we spoke with the state treasurer, your predecessor, there certainly was a cash flow problem. We were talking about perhaps issuing some kind of IOUs to vendors, maybe even to state workers. But it sounds like at least the cash flow problem is behind us temporarily anyway.
I believe the cash flow problem is behind us for this fiscal year, which runs to July 1st. And I think that we are headed in the right direction. And there's a couple of factors that go to that. One is that the economy is beginning to rebound. It's certainly not robust. It's not where it was in 2007. And regardless of what the experts say, I think people are going to feel that we're in a recession till we get back to where we were. But I think we're headed in that direction. At least we've stopped the bleeding and we're beginning to heal as an economy. And the other thing is that 1 cent sales tax that was passed by the the public, that has also gone to add dollars to our state's coffers. So while raising taxes in a recession may not be positive economic policy, it has improved the cash flow situation of the state today.
Moody's Investment Service, as you know, recently lowered its outlook for the state of Arizona, taking it from stable to negative. What does this mean? Is this a big deal? Should we be concerned about it?
Well, I think we should be concerned about the state of our economy and where it is right now. Moody's did change its outlook from stable to negative. I'm a lot more positive than Moody's, and probably for the primary reason is I know that the difficult and tough decisions that are being made here around the budget, I know the leadership posture that the governor's taking to reform the budget, and Moody's did not take into account our cash flow, and they also did not change our investment grade. We remain an investment grade bond rating. What they changed was their outlook, and it's because basically they looked at how the budget is constructed here, and they thought because of the limited scope that the legislature and the governor have, they changed their outlook, but it really doesn't mean anything to the listeners day to day. It's more of a directional game, and are we closing the structural gap or are we widening it? And the good news is we are closing it, and we'll know a lot more when they finish this budget up for this year.
It's about 53 minutes now past the hour. On our Buckmaster Show live line is the state's chief financial officer, the treasurer for the state of Arizona, Doug Ducey. Mr. Ducey was CEO of Stone Cold Creamery. He comes out of private industry now into a state job. How's that transition been for you here in the first 13 weeks or so of the year?
You know, it has been quite a transition to come from the private sector into the public sector. Does present its fair share of challenges. But I think because, just like I said during the campaign, you know, the state's finances are a mess. The budget is broken, and there is something very entrepreneurial about coming into a turnaround project. And I think there's a real energy in government right now, and a real energy in the electorate that they want to see this system fixed. They want to see this budget balanced, and they want to see good ideas for the future. So it's not like being a CEO in the private sector where you can make a decision and implement it on that same day. At the same time, by design, our process is not meant to be that way. So I want to be part of that solution. I'm working as closely as I can with the legislatures and the governor. And I think everyone knows why we were elected and the frustration that is out there around the budget and the economy. And I think to the best of my ability, that's what I'm focusing on every day, Bill.
Preceding our interview, we were doing our CEO interview series presented by TRIO, the economic development engine here in Southern Arizona. We were talking with Judy Rich, who is the CEO of TMC. And I know that one of the things you talked about in the campaign is getting the treasurer's office involved in economic development and attracting new businesses to the state. Is that still a priority with you?
It's definitely a priority. I think that economic development and every elected leader should focus on a healthy economy. And there's things that we can do, and one that I'm working with so that I don't build the size of government or add any duplication or replication, is to work with Don Cardin, who's the newly appointed director of the Commerce Authority, and make sure I know what he's doing and he knows what I want to do, and we can work together to get these ideas out there and to attract and retrain business to our great state.
How does the corporate tax rate structure compare in Arizona to neighboring states, perhaps California being an example?
Well, where our tax structure is right now is not good and not competitive, but they did pass a competitiveness bill. Some have called it a jobs bill, which will lower our corporate tax rate to below 5% and put us in the top five competitive states in the country. That's not going to happen for several years, yet the bill has been passed. So it is in a sense a license to go out and attract these companies, to definitely retain companies that are here. And that's why I talk a lot, Bill, about this being a directional game. In government, you can't get everything you want instantaneously, but you can be moving in either the right direction or the wrong direction. The budget gap and the wide divide what didn't happen overnight. It happened over the course of years and years, and I think we can fix it in less time, but it's going to take some time.
Mr. Ducey, is everything on the table as far as you're concerned in order to balance this state budget, including pension reform?
Well, I want to say yes, everything is on the table. I think if you're going to balance a budget that is so structurally broken, you need to talk about everything, and you need to talk about everything with an eye to the long term. Meaning, are we making the right decisions that will benefit our state over the course of this next decade? And the second thing is, of course, we have to look to pension reform. We want to make certain for the people that are counting on their pension that the dollars are there a decade from now and 2 decades from now, and we want to make sure that they're not going to be funded with tax increases and mandates to the public. So I think this is going on all over the country. There's some real leadership going on in other states. We have problems here in Arizona, but our problems are much more solvable than some of these other states. And I think you're going to see a real focus on pension reform, education reform, and all the things that really state government exists to do.
You know, talking about cash flow problem, I know many of our listeners are probably right now waiting to receive those refund checks from the 2010 Arizona income tax returns. How is it going in those checks, and what kind of turnaround time can they expect?
Well, you know, that is handled by our Department of Revenue, and I would like to think that people could get their own money back more quickly. At the same time, I've been exposed to how the process works here, and I think there's some room for improvement and technological advances. The real pickle we're in right now, Bill, is to take advantage of some of the things that we enjoy out in the private sector that streamline things and make things more effective and efficient. It does take an investment in technology. So I think they can look to traditional turnaround times on their tax refund or for whatever their over withholding was. And I think as we get out of this pickle and we're able to streamline government and make it more effective, there's no reason why that shouldn't be more mirroring what you would expect in the private sector in terms of getting your money back from a company or a large organization.
Doug Ducey, the state treasurer for the state of Arizona, thank you for speaking with us on the Buckmaster Show. I'd like to check in with you every couple of months and see how our financial picture is looking.
Sure, Bill. I'd love to do that, and I look forward to keeping everyone up to date on where we are on cash flow and where we're headed in terms of our economy.
It is important. Thank you so much, Doug. Have a great day.
You too, Bill. Thank you.
All right. Doug Ducey, Arizona State Treasurer. The Buckmaster Show, brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates, Certified Public Accountants, located at 29 East Broadway, on the web at flowersrieger.com. Flowers & Rieger is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael C. Flowers will be with us next Thursday at the bottom of the hour, about 9:30, and I want you to get your tax tip questions ready. Michael will be here for about 10 minutes next Thursday at 9:30 answering the listeners' questions about their tax returns. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great day.
This is Tucson's Jolt.
This is a free exchange of ideas.
AM 1330, KJLL.
The American people deserve no less.
South Tucson.